So I got this couple slides here today again. I didn't do a whole PowerPoint, but it's from a couple weeks ago, and Kirk reminded me I should maybe fix the spelling. So, but I just wanted to use a couple slides. I'm going to slide this curtain. Would you mind? That sounds right on that car hood. Perfect. But I want to use one of the slides in there with we had the map of Paul's journeys, and I wanted to bring that up here at one point, so thought it might help a visual, might help a little bit. But today we're still in the book of Galatians, first chapter still, a little bit of the introduction or the opening, I guess, in Paul's letter here, kind of see the maybe the conclusion of the opening, I guess, today. The end of chapter 1. And today we're going to look at verses 11 through 24. And Paul is kind of continuing a little bit of the thought that he had at the beginning. Excuse me. When he's talking about in verse 1 of chapter 1 there. He was an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So Paul is kind of taking a little time here to stress, I guess, that he's a valid apostle, and how he, and we're going to kind of see how he learned of the gospel. And it's not of that he just, I don't want to get ahead of myself here too much, but he didn't just, it's not just hearsay. He didn't just hear from somebody else and then he just took off with that idea. So Paul's really defending what he's taught and the gospel that he's taught. So let's start out in Galatians 1, verse 11 today. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. So Paul, he's drawing back on his past a little bit here to help them understand kind of, you know, really where he's coming from. Paul was extremely outspoken against the church at the very beginning. And we're going to look at a couple examples today. Let's look in Acts chapter 7. Let's flip back there. And we know before the conversion of Paul, he went by the name of Saul. So we'll see a different name here, but the same man. Acts chapter 7. Let's start in verse 54. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. Now this, I'll stop just a second here. This is when Stephen is teaching the gospel there to the Jews, and they're not receiving it, I guess you could say, and becoming very, very upset, I guess. So, now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, they gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen, and he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. and they all were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. So very not just agreeing with the persecution of the church, but very active against the persecution of the church. We see when Stephen was stoned and killed there, it said that they laid their robes at his feet, meaning that he stood by and watched and held their coats while they stoned the guy. He was in total approval. And then we went on in chapter 8 there, where he began going around, entering the house and like physically dragging these people out, putting them in prison. And yet, as far as the Christians were concerned, I mean, in the gospel and what God's will was, yeah, he was strongly against what that was. In his mind at that time, he was still working under the old law, right? He was thinking about the law of Moses, and the things that these Christians were doing didn't align with the law of Moses. So, and being a very devout Jew, he thought he was doing the right thing, right? But come to find out, he wasn't. But it wasn't that he was necessarily acting as an evil person. In his mind, I'm not justifying what he was doing was right by any means, but in his mind, he thought he was doing the will of the Lord. Just he was misled. If we turn over to Acts chapter 22, we can see where we're about Paul, talking about him being a Jew. Starting verse 1, Acts 22. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia. Cilicia. Maybe it's the best way to say that. Cilicia, something like that. What's that? Cilicia? That's what I'm looking for. We'll go with Cilicia. He brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are today. And I persuaded this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women in the prison. And also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and departed off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were to Jerusalem and prisoners to be punished. So he even, not just in Jerusalem, he with the authority of the elders, the high priest and the elders, he was headed out to other places to round up these unruly Christians. And in doing so, again, thinking that he was zealous for God. Paul's attitude for doing what God wanted has never really changed. It's just at one point in his life he had a different understanding of what God wanted of him and of what he wanted of people. If we turn back to Galatians now, we see Paul using himself as an example as he's trying to really establish the truthful principles of the gospel. And he's getting the point across that he has the gospel in, you could say, a special way, maybe. Let's look at verses 15 of Galatians 1. But when he had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Let's turn to Acts chapter 22 again. And And we'll read this account about Paul here. It's found a few times in the book of Acts, but I chose this one here. Verse 6 of chapter 22. We'll read on here. And it came about that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. Again, this is when Paul is he's on his way to Damascus with the authority of the high priest to imprison these Christians. And so that's where he picks up here. And I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me beheld the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him, and he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Arise, be immersed, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And it came about, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I fell into a trance. And I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in thee. And when the blood of thy witness Stephen was being shed, I was standing by approving and watching out for the cloaks of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you away to the Gentiles. So we see this is the conversion of Paul, of Saul at that point. And if we keep this picture in mind here of how Saul was converted there, if we go back to Galatians in chapter 1 there, in verse 16, I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. So what that means is when Paul was on the road to Damascus there and was blinded and went into Ananias and we know the story there. His first response wasn't to, oh, hey, I need to go. You know, Paul knew who the apostles were. He knew that they were with Jesus. He didn't just run to them and say, hey, guys, I'm one of you now. You know, what do we got to do? Teach me what I need to know. They would be the ones that would know, right? Of any man on earth, the apostles would be the one that would have the answers at that point. And he didn't just head down to Jerusalem to go figure this stuff out, did he? Paul wasn't taught by men. Let's read on here in Galatians 18. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. So we see a little bit kind of put together the timeline a little bit. No, it's just not going to work. There we go. Of Paul and his travels a little bit. And I think it helps us to make sense a little bit of what he's trying to teach the Galatians here. So Paul, let me scoot this a little bit. This isn't the best map in the world, but it should help us a little bit. So Paul was in Jerusalem with the letters from the high priest and was working his way up to Damascus. And that's when he was blinded on the road and then his conversion and stuff. He didn't just head straight back to Jerusalem. And it says in these verses here, verse 18, that 3 years later I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas or with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. But he didn't see any other apostles except James. Now, this isn't, we don't want to confuse this with the time when Paul opposed Peter about some of the things he was doing. At one point, we know Peter was kind of sticking a little bit closer to the Jewish Christians, and the idea of the Gentiles maybe need to be circumcised before they can be Christians, and we know that Paul, opposed him to his face, Scripture tells us. But this isn't the same time. And if we confuse it with that time, it kind of changes a little bit about what Paul's doing here. So we know, we'll kind of see here. Hopefully it'll kind of make sense when I get through it. So Peter came up. Oh, excuse me. I've got to back up a minute here. Okay, when that happened, when that opposition with, and I'm trying not to jump ahead too far into Galatians here, because I know I'm going to cut into somebody else's lesson, so try not to do that. But when Peter is opposed by Paul, it's when Peter came to Antioch. Antioch's up here in this region here. Now, in Galatians 1 there, Paul went to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Peter. Okay, so they're not the same circumstances or the same time either. So we want to remember that. And we talked a little bit a couple weeks ago about the timing of Paul's journeys and his letters a little bit. And we talked about how he kind of went on his first journey and ended up through the region, the region here in Galatia. Started out in Antioch, went to Cyprus, up here to Perga, to the Pamphylia, up to Antioch of Pisidia, over to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and then he circles back around to Antioch. And then on his second journey, starts in Jerusalem, up through Antioch, over through this region here, and then continues through this region here with the churches of Galatia. This would be his second journey after he'd planted the gospel there. Came through again, and I believe that when he came through the second time is when he saw the troubles and the struggles that he writes about in this letter here. He continues on all the way up around top here through Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and comes down to Corinth, and he stays in Corinth for some time. And I believe that the letter to the Galatians was written while Paul was in Corinth on that second journey. And then when he completes that journey, we'll kind of trace this here, comes all the way back down here to Jerusalem and up to Antioch. And Peter, and I believe this is when Peter comes from Jerusalem to Antioch, and that's at the point where they have their opposition. Definitely a different time frame, different time period, and sometimes it's easy for us to get maybe a little bit confused, especially in the book of Acts, because as you read through it, there's a lot of events that seem to, chronologically, they seem like they stack right on top of one another, but that's not always the truth. Sometimes between one chapter, another chapter, one event, or other event, there's quite a bit of time, or there's other things that happen in the middle of that time as well. So I think it's important for us to try to kind of get an idea of when Paul went on his journeys and the things that happened during his journeys and the letters that he had wrote to the different churches along the way. So with that thought, let's go on in here in Galatians. Hopefully I'm not boring you too much. In verse 21, then I went to the regions of Syria and... how'd you say that again? It's a simple word. Cilicia. And I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he who persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they are glorifying God because of me. So this region of the churches in Judea, they still don't, at this point when he's writing this letter, they don't know him by sight. So at the time when Paul's writing this letter, he hasn't been there as an apostle and in amongst the churches of that region yet. Again, I think that helps prove the point to us that this letter was written on that second journey, because at the end of that journey is when Paul finds his way back to Jerusalem there as the well-known apostle, I guess you could say, possibly. And then from that point, he goes north to Antioch, and then we see where he meets up with Peter again there. But they were hearing about the good things that he was doing. They knew this man, verse 23 there, he who once persecuted us now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. So the word about Paul is getting around. He's going around to a lot of regions. He's very outspoken with the gospel and has a very strong message. And Paul is using this story of his life and his experiences, I guess, as an apostle to help prove how strong this gospel really is. If we go back to Acts chapter 15, we can read a little bit, fairly lengthy portion here. But I think it will help us here figure out a little bit about Paul and his timing with the meeting of Peter and the apostles and a little bit more of his backstory. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 15. And some men came down from Judah and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. So this is after his first missionary journey. When he was in Antioch, they decided to go down there and meet with some of the apostles and elders. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through... verse 4, and when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done to them. But certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses." And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did also to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are also." And all the multitude kept silent and were listening to Barnabas and Paul and those, and as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me. Simon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And with these, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, After these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old. Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, and from fornication, and from what is strangled, and from blood. For Moses, I'll stop there. No, I'll go a couple more. For Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogue every Sabbath. And it seemed good to the apostles and elders from the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas among men, the brethren. And then they sent this letter along with them. Excuse me. So this trip to Jerusalem was after Paul's first journey, and it's kind of the kickstart to his second, you could say. And this is again where he comes up, goes up north, over to let me flip back to Galatians here. And on this second journey, excuse me, he went to the regions of Syria. This region here is Syria. Antioch's kind of the northern part. And then he went over, and then he went to the west, over toward Cilicia. I can't say that word today for some reason. I keep forgetting. Cilicia. I'm going to get that down. He went on this area right here, Cilicia. This is his second journey. So these things, these events kind of, as you look at the map and kind of how he took his journey and the places he went, and with the events that we see in Acts combined with what he's saying here in Galatians, we kind of see, we really can really start to see where this was his second journey that he was on when he wrote this letter. Because he came from Jerusalem up here to Antioch and over to this region here. That was kind of the early part of his second journey. And then he travels again, like I said earlier, through this region here, which is the Galatian region. So sometime along this journey is when Paul wrote this letter. Because he didn't, and I believe that a couple reasons I think that it might be Corinth. And one, it was he stayed there a lengthy period of time. He was there for about a year and a half. And then also Corinth was a very busy shipping port. A lot of traffic, high commerce area. And ships often traveled back across the upper part of the Mediterranean Sea from Corinth over here to Ephesus, back and forth right here. So I strongly believe the letter was written here in Corinth and made its way across to Ephesus here, which again, and then just traveled east over here and ended up back here in Galatia. Again, a little bit of speculation there on my part, but I think we can pretty easily prove that this letter was written sometime during the second journey, though. And it makes sense that he wrote it after he went through the region of Galatia. It just doesn't make sense for him to write the letter to the church of Galatia and then go through there. Unless, the one argument he could have there is he wanted to have that letter to leave with them. And that could be true too. But I feel like when Paul left that area the first time, he probably felt fairly positive about what he saw with the churches there. But when he came back the second time, then he started to see the problems that they were running into. And he was concerned about them. As he left the second time, he probably was a little bit worried about them, thinking, man, I don't know if they're going to be able to handle all this stuff. So along the way, he wrote in this letter, sent it back to him, trying to help teach and encourage them. So I think that's a lot of where this letter is coming from, was out of Paul's concern for the church there. And Paul wanted them to clearly know that the gospel that he's teaching there, that he taught them previously, wasn't just something that wasn't a man-made idea. It was revealed to him through Jesus. He was taught not by men, but by the revelation of Jesus. And it's true, and the gospel is truth, and they needed to stick to what he taught them. We saw earlier in that chapter that in verse 8, he says, and he used this example, he said, "But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." So anybody comes and tries to teach you a different gospel than you heard the first time, it's wrong. And Paul's really wanting to get that point across to them because he's really knows the importance of the message he's going to give to them in this letter, that they need to understand what the words that Paul have taught them is the word of God. And they need to adhere to that. It's an important letter for the church of Galatia. I think it's very pivotal to their salvation. But I think we can learn a lot from this letter too, and we're going to get into more of that as we kind of get into the meat of it, I guess you could say, as we look at later on here. And I didn't want to jump ahead too much. Some of these ideas about his journeys and the council in Jerusalem, you could call it, I guess, and then his opposition with Peter, it's all going to kind of fit together, I think, when we get into this a little bit farther, I believe so. Let's hope that's the case anyway. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for today, Lord, and just thankful we can look into your word today and just help us to find the truth that is there and just be encouraged by it, Father. And we're just thankful for the gospel message and just help us to have that attitude where we need to stick to the truth that is there and to not be swayed away from it or to travel down different paths, but to stick to the truth that is taught through Scripture. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.